Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi everybody, and welcome back to the Dead Parent Club podcast for season 3.
We have missed you, haven't we, Kat?
Yes, we have, and I have missed doing this a lot. I feel like tonight's going to be really therapeutic for both of us.
I was just about to say, this is our therapy. Yeah. We've missed out on some sessions recently, haven't we?
If there are tears shed, I wouldn't be surprised.
There definitely will be. Oh, it's lovely to see you again, and thank you again for joining us for the Dead Parent Club podcast.
Yeah, we've got a whole season coming up of chats between Emma and I, chats with experts, so there's a lot to look forward to. But this particular episode is one that a lot of you have asked for.
Yeah, it's all about those big life events, things that happen where you know if your parent was there, they'd be extremely proud, and it kind of shines a light on the fact that they aren't with us.
Yeah, and it's something that a lot of you message the page about, asking for advice on how to get through sort of buying a new house, having children, getting married, and just general things depending on when you lost your parent, graduation and things like that. So Emma and I have had a lot of experience in most of those things. Can't quite say we've got to the marriage and baby stage yet.
So let's crack on then, shall we? Welcome to the Dead Parent Club.
So why not have a little catch up then whilst we're here? What's been happening in your life?
Well, I've moved house.
Big so, life big, event.
Big life event. Yeah, about 3.5 months ago, I actually moved house. Although, to be honest with you, I feel like I've basically been living in London ever since. So I've hardly been there. But as you know, because obviously you bought your place, didn't you? Was that like 1 year, 2 years ago?
Last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know that feeling. How did you feel in the build up to buying your house and then picking up the keys?
So I feel like, for me, the biggest thing was is that I was doing this massive thing and I had nobody to kind of go to the shops with and pick out little bits and bobs for it that'd be really excited for me. So my dad was there, but he's not, you know, one of your parents usually is the one that's most excited for you, whether that's your dad or your mum. For me, it was my mum. My mum was the one that was championing me on, really excited. She would have been buzzing. So my dad just wasn't, you know, that interested, really. No fault of his own, it's just his personality type, that's fine. But I was very much just like, God, I really wish my mum was here just to, for the build up of it, to get excited with me, because it didn't feel like that big of a deal to me because my surviving parent wasn't that excited.
I completely get that. And I think, like you say, it's whichever parent you would have shared that kind of bond with. Mm-hmm. But I know for me, particularly in the last year as a whole, a lot has happened. And that includes the loss of my nana, who was like another mum to me. She died. And then all of a sudden, I got one of my dream jobs in London, broadcasting from a studio, which I would have been straight on the phone to my nana and my mum had they been here telling her. I got a new car. I bought a new place. I got all these other jobs that I was loving. I feel like this last year has been so significant for me in terms of my growth in my career and as a person. And there are so many times, probably even more often than I realize, where my mind thinks about the conversation I would have with them if I could pick up the phone, what they would say, how, you know, even this, just this last week, I was in Portugal and I was at an incredible event surrounded by people far more intelligent than I. And I had the privilege of being able to get up on stage with some of them. There was a Hollywood actress, a famous football journalist, and the COO of a huge global company. And I got up on stage and held court with them and asked them the questions and stuff in front of a crowd of 30 or 40,000 people. And for me, that was a real defining moment and one where all I wanted to do when I came back off that stage was pick up the phone and go, Nana, Mum, you're never going to guess what I've just done. And I didn't have that. And I don't have that relationship with anybody else in my family where I can do that, where, as you said about your mum, that they would be as excited as you are, if not more so sometimes. And I think that's when it really hits home, is for all the sadness of grief, when you're in the highs, when you do things that are achievements, it can wallop you.
Yeah, massively. I feel like it's something that I've said quite a lot, but every happy moment now that happens after somebody has died always has a tinge of sadness. And when I sit and think about that, like, that's actually really sad, and it makes me jealous of other people that can have these happy moments and just be completely immersed in it. But also what you were saying then, you know, about not having people you can call, but obviously both of us over the past year have also gone through a breakup, so it's kind of weird not having, because that person used to be the person that you would call excited about it as well, and then suddenly you're kind of like shit, who is my person now?
And you kind of realize that you have to be your own champion.
Yeah.
And you have to, and I don't think it doesn't, and it hasn't always sat right with me to give myself a pat on the back. I've never been that kind of person. Even if I think I've done something good, I'll give myself 2 seconds worth of credit and then go, right, snap out of that, crack on to the next thing, you know, do this. And I think it takes a lot. You really have to self-reflect and have to be on your own after those events to understand how to be your own biggest champion and to realize the growth. And I think that's something that comes with time. I think if the grief is very raw, it's not as easy to do that, or at least in my experience, it's not.
You're more
as easy.
Overwhelmed by the sadness than the happiness at those early stages, definitely.
Yeah, but I hope if you're listening to this and you have recently lost a loved one, that you might take some sort of comfort in the knowledge that, you know, that Kat and I are sharing with you, that as the years go by, you do gain a level of perspective and you are able to root for yourself in the world.
Yeah, definitely. I think what you were saying before, you know, about how you don't sit back and reflect on those moments, I think a big part of that is because a big aspect of grief is survival, and it's like getting through each day. And I was even saying to somebody, I was saying to your brother actually the other week, I was lying there and I was like, I'm so bad for not living in the moment. I'm constantly thinking about what's next and what the next thing I need to do is in my life. And I think I've learned that from when I was grieving. The only way that I could get through each day is by like planning my day and getting through everything as quickly as I could, so that I didn't have any time to sit still and kind of absorb what was happening.
And I think that's something that happens a lot with grief, isn't it? That you find yourself, probably a coping mechanism that's outside of our control, but you find yourself doing that. I remember saying to my therapist, you know, please tell me why the goalposts are ever changing, why I'm never, like you say, present in the moment. And I mean, I am, in the sense of, because, you know, I lost my nana, whenever I have moments with my granddad, I find myself looking at him and working his face out and remembering how he talks and the movements and mannerisms of him. But I said to my therapist, please tell me why the goalposts are ever changing and why I feel as though I'm on high alert and constantly racing in life. And, you know, he said to me, oh, you know, it's okay to feel that like that sometimes, you know, imagine a horse in a race. And I was like, yeah,
I'm a horse.
and they get to the end of a race and they've either won, lost, or come somewhere in between. This is never ending for me. I'm constantly out of breath here, sunshine. And it is this kind of thing where, and I wonder if part of it is that we are so aware of how finite life is that we are trying to cram a whole lifetime into whatever we have, because you cannot help but be overwhelmed by the idea that we are going to die and we don't know when.
Yeah, massively. And I think like one of the worst things of that is like when you're not doing anything, you're panicking because you're like, oh my God, like I haven't done enough. If I die now, like I'm not going to have done enough with my life. And like, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm. And purpose and fulfillment and things like that. You know, I feel that I need to find my purpose. I need to find my meaning in life and fulfillment. And the same thing as you said, I'm scared that, you know, what if life ends and I've left no lasting positive legacy on this earth? And you're right. Mm. That is quite sad that that is how we are thinking. Can you ever sit still?
No, I cannot. I am so bad for it. Like if I have like a whole day where I've got nothing planned in front of me, I'm like, holy crap, what can I do? I will find anything.
Yeah. And I bet you're also like me in that day to day with work and everything else. Mm. You're like, oh my God, I'm so busy. I just need a bit of, I just need to give myself a moment to breathe. And then when you're given the opportunity to breathe, you're like,
what can I do?
Yeah, I need to do something to fill this time. I can't just be alone and do nothing. And it's like, I can barely watch TV. I can barely do anything. I feel that I have to be proactive, doing things all the time. And like you say, then that means that when we do achieve things, like, it's very short-lived. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's what it is, very short-lived.
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of that is because we're like, okay, like, nobody to celebrate this with.
Yeah.
Let's carry on. And I think, you know, that is rubbish. But like you said, if we can learn to be our own champions, and a good thing to do maybe would be to spend a moment like journaling about it, like take a moment to, like, they say, I think to remember things really well and to feel in the moment, you have to think about like your sight, your hearing and your smell. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even if you like say to yourself, okay, I've done something that I'm really proud of here, sit and just go through those three things. And even that will help you like be in the moment and kind of be like, okay, I'm feeling really proud of myself here and remember it.
That's really good advice, Kat. And also in those moments, think about how future you will thank this you.
Mm.
You know, that because those achievements, the very reason that we achieve those goals is to help ourselves ultimately in the long run. So future you will at some point look back and go, well done, Kat, you did that. And now look where we are. And also remember that even though we've lost people, you're yet to meet people that you will love, be that platonically, you know, friendships, romantic partners, and all of these achievements are helping to shape the person you are, and one day they're going to celebrate them with you.
Yeah, yeah, that's such a beautiful way to look at it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Obviously, both of us lost a parent when we were kind of 18. I was like 20. So our parents missed 21st birthdays, graduations, first ever jobs. How did you feel then? And do you think it's different to how you feel now?
So I was very fortunate in that my nana has always been my biggest champion, as well as my mum. So I used to, she'd be the first person I'd pick up the phone to and tell her about these things, which is why I think this last year has been so significant for me, is because I've looked at my phone and gone, who do I call? Mm-hmm. Who am I going to tell this to? And so when I was 18, when mum passed away, for all those years, I had nana that I could call, who'd go, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. You know, let me watch what you've done. Let me see. And she would beam with joy. Now is for the first time, I've probably really had to sit back and celebrate it for myself and go, well done. You know, look how far you've come and look at these things. What about you?
Well, before we go on to me, do you remember on your graduation, did your nan and granddad go to your graduation?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And again, that massively, massively helped me through it. There was always like, you know, I remember as well, because I did journalism and then I did broadcast journalism, and my mum was an English teacher and she loved the written word and she always encouraged me to write. Mm. I remember this feeling, I remember looking around on graduation and seeing all my friends with their mums and being really happy for them. And thinking, I wonder what it would have been like. I wonder which one of the mums my mum would have been mixing with. I wonder who she would have been laughing with. And you almost picture, you know, you see a crowd and you almost see how she would navigate her way around that room as well. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, so obviously for me, I'd started third year, I'd been to Freshers Week, and then I was told, well, your mum's going to die in the next couple of weeks. So I intercalated my third year, which is when I just put it off, like I could suspend it for a year. So I did that without telling my mum first, but I talked to my dad about it and he knew it was the right thing to do. My mum was in hospital at the time and I went in to go and see her and I was like, you know, I need to tell you that I've intercalated my year. And she was like, why? Why would you do that? And I said, you know, because I need to be here with you for now. My mum never talked about the fact that she was going to die. So at this, she said, no, I'm going to be at your graduation. Like, don't do it. I'm going to be there. And it was really hard for me to turn around. I didn't turn around and say to her, like, no, you're not. I was just said to her, I've done it. Like, I'm sorry. And I think, like, knowing that she was, obviously she wasn't so close, but she was like 9 months off being able to see me graduate if I had stayed in my third year. And I'm so glad that I didn't, but obviously, you know, I intercalated. So I turned 21 before I graduated. And that was a big event without my mum there, but everybody made an effort to make her be there in every moment. So my neighbour baked a big cake and she put photos of all my childhood on it with my mum on it. I remember I opened it and I was like, my dad did a big speech and she was very much a part of that day, even though she wasn't. And then also I graduated the year after and I was really, really lucky that so many of my family and friends made the effort to come. And I remember going onto the stage and I think it was my auntie went like, yes, Catherine. And she had said it because she knew that my mum would have been shouting. My mum was not like kind of shy or social conscious or anything at all. She would have been like, yeah,
yes, like excited. I love that.
Yeah, so my aunt did that. And I think, you know, similar to you, that was a really odd experience seeing everybody there with their family. And I just felt like there's a big gaping hole in mine. But at the same time, there must have been like 15 of them there with my friends. There's so many. We had like just a massive do. So I was really lucky. But then I suppose since then, every moment feels like a big moment when your parent isn't there, when you're doing something, you know, like getting your first job or getting a new job, buying a house. And I think over time, I've kind of learned to just accept the fact that I have to go through these things without her. And it hurts. And like you see the gaps, you're hyper aware of the gaps in your life when these things happen. Like I know that after my first day at a new job, my mum would have been texting me like, how was your first day? Was it great? And prior to it, she would have been really interested and excited. And you know, you just don't get that anymore. And it does make you very hyper aware of how different your life is to like your peers' life or your friends' lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on that as well, when I look ahead to the future, because I know you and I would both like children, and fingers crossed we're both able to have them one day. Mm. And I think about that and my mind goes so far as thinking, well, I'm 31. My mum died at 48. Mm. What if I have children and then they have no grandmother on my side and then I die young and then what am I going to leave my children with? And I think about the impact that had on me and I think, oh my God, am I being selfish having children because I'm going to die? How? And I know that might sound ridiculous and that might sound really morbid, but you know, and also I look at my friends who have had children already and you know what, just because somebody's mother is physically here doesn't necessarily mean that they are
present.
That supportive. But I look at the ones who do have children who have a support network around them, like their mums in particular. And I think, oh my God, like, you've struggled with children with a mum there to help you.
Shit.
Yeah. And I think I need to be in a place where I'm prepared to sacrifice absolutely everything in my world for an extended period of time to be a mother and solely a mother, because I will have nobody who I can turn to help me with that.
Yep. I have the exact same thoughts. I think it's the same as, you know, whether you've lost your mum or your dad. You know, you can have complicated relationships with whichever surviving parent, or if you've lost both of them. I think like your like friends really take for granted the fact that, like, I know, you know, my friends have said, oh, you know, I've got free childcare. And I'm like, God, like, I'm not going to have that. And you're so right. I actually have to think, I am not going to be able, I can't afford to put a child in childcare 5 days a week. They're going to put me working. Yeah. Like, what's the point?
Exactly.
But then I also don't want to give up my life. So I think it is such a hard balance. And these are the things that we have to think about now. And one of the other things that I think about a lot is, you know, if I ever do get married, and I do want to at some point, it's, you know, that massive hole again, people go wedding dress shopping with their mums. Their mums come on their hen do's. They plan their wedding with their mums. Like everything, all of my friends that have like got engaged or something, like their mum has had such a big part to play in it. And I'm like, oh, crap, like who the hell's going to do that with me?
You're right. And I think like that as well. And I think as a result of that and as a result of the pain and sadness that that's caused me, because I've thought about those kinds of things so much over the years, I think I've got to a stage in my life where I've accepted that. And so what I do is I look for love everywhere else. And that might sound a bit like arty farty, but what I mean by that is I really seek love out in people. Like I find new people and people that I've known for years, and I feel love through them, and I appreciate them in a way I maybe wouldn't had I not experienced loss at such an early age. And I think when I do look ahead to, you know, having children and getting married, whilst they won't have the time in their lives to dedicate to me in the way a mother would, I think actually, you know, I will build my own support network around me so that when I, you know, and I'd like to get married one day too, when I do go wedding dress shopping, I will have people who will be able to offer me, not what my mum could, but at least offer me love and support.
Yeah, and celebrate it with you 100%. Exactly. And I really resonate with what you said about, you know, finding different people that you can get love from. Like we kind of just siphon love from lots of different people to kind of to try and measure up the love that we're missing. And that is so true. Like we've both said that you build way more meaningful connections after your parent has died because you understand the value of it so much. I think, you know, going back to the marriage thing, a lot of people have messaged in and said, you know, how do I get through a wedding day without my dad? Because stereotypically, dads have played a really big part when people get married. And I myself, you know, I've thought about that with my dad's recent diagnosis. There is a chance that he won't be here when I get married. And I'm like, God, that is a really big thing. But I think because of what the way that culture makes it to be, you know, every single film you watch is the dad walking the bride up the aisle and having a little cry and that special moment. And my heart really does break for other women and other grooms out there as well, whose dads would play a big part in their wedding days too. And that, you know, you do feel kind of robbed from that. And I think the same as, you know, what we've just said about missing our mums is that you try and you know, replicate that love in lots of different people and find somebody really special to you. It doesn't have to be a man walking you up the aisle, you know. It can be your mum, it can be a friend that has been there to support you in the way that your dad would have supported you. And I think it's important that, yes, we're missing this really big person and there's a really big like hole in our lives, but, you know, we can still make the whole day beautiful. And it's okay to be sad as well. Your wedding doesn't have to be completely happy. It's okay to have a moment of sadness and reflection for that person.
I'm not going to ask you to share what your dad's diagnosis is, but how do you feel about potentially having neither parent at a future wedding?
Horrific. No, yeah, that's actually one of the first things I heard. And I was like, the first things I thought about when I got the news, I was like, crap, like I actually, you know, I'm only 26 now, so I might not get married for like another, you know, 5 or so years, maybe. You don't know. And kind of thinking that because I don't know, because there is a chance that he might be or he might not be, it's really hard. But that is one of the things that I am probably most scared of. I'm like, shit, like that's going to be, I'm just very hyper aware of how sad that will be. And I think I just need to learn that if that does happen, I just need to learn that sadness will be a part of my day, but just to make it as happy as I can around it.
Have you had that conversation with your dad?
Oh my God, no.
Why?
I don't know. You know, I think it just makes it a little bit too real, I think, would be the main reason why. And I think whilst my dad is healthy now and he's living his life now, I don't see a reason to kind of bring up something that might not even happen.
You know? I completely understand that. I remember, because I lost a lot of memory of mum, but one of the significant things I do remember is her being in her ensuite and me stood in her bedroom and saying, I want you there at my wedding day. What am I going to do, mum? And I was 17. And I remember her saying, I'll do everything in my power to be there at your wedding day. And I think because I said that and I remember her saying that, I'll draw some comfort should I ever get married in the knowledge that she knew I would have wanted her there.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she'd know, but I said it.
Yeah.
And that she told me she'll do everything in her power to be there. And, you know, we see it a lot. You see it even on the internet with people's weddings where such beautiful tributes are paid to the people that can't be there. And I think that is a big part of it, to ensure that everybody in that room knows there is a person here who I wish could be here, or two people here or more that I wish could be here that can't be present. And therefore we will mark it with this or this or this as a reminder of those that aren't with us.
Yeah. So a few people of my family have got married since my mum died. And every single time it's mentioned at a wedding, I can't help but cry. So I keep thinking, oh my God, whenever I do get married, like, I'm gonna have to have some serious, like, I'm gonna have to have a makeup session ready for afterwards, because I will be bawling. And I know it.
They'll be there with the powder while you're still doing it, like, buying you up. But also there is there's a beauty in that. There's a beauty in the rawness of a day full of love where you remember that person, and it is so unavoidable. You can't not remember them on a day like that. And so actually, in terms of the entire grieving process, that is what we encourage, is to talk about it, to cry about it.
Yeah.
So to do it on that day is so normal. And I remember, you know, on my brother's wedding day, same thing, him talking about mum, and that was it. I'm done. Because it's just,
you're a goner.
Yeah.
Straight
away. Can't deal with it. And it's crazy, because the sentence before, you're absolutely yay, mention Jane. I'm like,
oh, it's like raises host to the people that can't be here. And I'm like, yeah.
And either way,
like, I'm crying Prosecco basically at this point in the day.
it's so bad.
But there will be thousands of people that are in exactly the same boat as us, which is sad, but
it is. Yeah, exactly. And do you know what I'm finding more and more, sadly, is that as I'm getting older, more people are losing their parents prematurely, absolutely prematurely.
Yeah.
And they're turning to me now for advice because they know I've been through it. So they'll message me. And things like that are happening because of their age. They are getting married. They are having children. They are navigating their way through things. So I think we're at a point in our life where very, very sadly now, even though we are still young, more people's parents are dying. So they are going to be going through these things semi alone.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, with people having children and stuff, I wish neither you nor I can sit here and say that we understand what that feels like when you have kids, when you've lost a parent, because we don't know. But we both know how apprehensive you must feel when you are having children, how scary it must be, and how sad it is to have them and to not have, like, you know, the grandparent there with you. But I just feel like it's the same advice again, where you have to just allow yourself to be sad about it, but try and find some ways to bring them to life in that new relationship that you're going to form when they're not going to be there. I think, you know, I've thought about it a lot, and I'm like, I really have to make an effort to talk about my mum to these children, because I want them to know who she is. And I try and do it with my nephews and my brother's kids. And I took, like, little Griff upstairs a few weeks ago, and I was like showing him photos, like, this is your Niney Joe. And he doesn't understand at all. He's only like two. But I just think it's hard to think that, you know, these people aren't going to have a clue who this person is, but it's important to try and make an effort, I think.
Yeah. My older brother did that with my nephew Toby, who is 8. They had a Macmillan cancer day at school where they all got to wear green to go in, but they had to take some money in. So my older brother Ben gave Toby a £10 note, and he explained Macmillan helped Nana Jane when she was poorly. Mm. Toby quietly took himself upstairs into his pocket money and got his own £10 note and brought it back down to take with him. And I think that's so beautiful. Things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a goner, because I was wow, like, that is just so precious.
Yeah.
And I think on what you said, Kat, again, you are stronger. I know it sounds cliche, but you are stronger than you will give yourself credit for.
Always.
It's only in the moments where you have to be that you realize how deep you can dig and learn your own strength. Mm-hmm. And you will do it, however daunting it may seem, however challenging it may seem. And telling you now, you are going to do it. And it doesn't mean it's going to be seamless. It doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, all rainbows and musicals. It might be tough, but you'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that is some great advice to give to anybody who is feeling daunted at the prospect of life events, or is going through something where they've kind of had celebrated something big and they're feeling really lost about it. My other bit of advice would be, as it always is, to talk about it. Like if there is one person in your life who will validate the way that you're feeling, so not somebody who you would say, oh, you know, I'm really happy, but I'm quite upset about this because they're not here, and they go, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. Like they'll be happy for you. Try find somebody that says, you know what you're feeling is completely okay and it's fine and it's okay to feel sad and feel happy at the same time because they both go hand in hand, and that is something that we really have to learn when you're grieving.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's perfect advice. And also, do you know what? If you have achieved something and you want to shout about it, feel free to send us a message at the Dead Parent Club podcast.
Yes, please do. We are always here to reply to you. You can find us on Instagram at Dead Parent Club podcast, on Twitter at DPC podcast, or on Facebook at the Dead Parent Club podcast. And you can also email us at hello@deadparentclub.co.uk.
We managed to avoid the tears.
And also, we will congratulate you right here, right now. If you've done anything really good lately, well done.
We salute you.
Super proud.
We're clapping you into next week when we'll be back. See you then.
See you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.